The original social media. Call Joe Thomas in the morning on anything.
What are you?
Really?
I'm Batman.
Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
Come along if you care. Come along if you dare. Take a ride to the land inside of your mind.
I will not yield. I will not flinch. I will defend the right to vote. Our democracy against all enemies, foreign and, yes, domestic.
Interesting. As he was saying that, the Department of Justice announcing their new domestic terrorist unit. And, boy, that's right there. I think it's Article 23 of the Constitution. Conan was hanging on the line in there. At some point, this is starting to play out like some drama that was hacked together for Netflix. Conan, how are you doing this morning?
I'm doing all right. My head's spinning a little at the double sneak from yesterday.
Oh, gosh. It was like he had his B12 shot. This is feisty, Joe.
Not double speak, but double scream.
Yeah, exactly.
Double screaming.
Hey, this is a little bit more.
So follow the president on this one. I'm willing to do anything, including changing the voting rules to suppress the rights of the minority in order to pass voting rights to protect the rights of the minority to vote.
Yeah, the logic, I mean, you could be taken to The Hague for that kind of human, that kind of torture for your logic. And this was the point, though, and he mentions minority and majority twice. And isn't our republic designed to make sure that the minority always gets a say in whatever proceedings? So you're just not ramrodding the classic, four wolves and three sheep voting on what's for lunch?
Only certain minorities are granted that right.
Oh, so not the minority, but...
Not the minority. It's, the lowercase or the quotation mark, air quote minority or whatever the case may be. No, it's only certain people are granted that right, just like only certain people are granted a pass when they violate their own laws, and only certain people are called to account when they contradict themselves. It was just staggering. I listened to that and I was just like, wow, no one in the media can put two and two together and come up with anything other than seven, which needs to be equally distributed amongst all Americans.
Well, let me ask you this though. Let's take this, and the president alluded to it, this domestic terrorist unit of the Department of Justice, as if they couldn't send the FBI agents out anyway for it, or the IRS agents. Let's take away the filibuster. Let's say they managed to scare enough Republicans into giving up the filibuster. Let's say a Murkowski or a Romney decides, and they go along with it, and they get rid of the filibuster. Do you think the voting rights, the John Lewis Act, is the first one to hit the Senate floor?
Oh, no. Not even close.
It's Biden. It's the Build Back Biden with doubling the size of the IRS. So you don't even need the domestic terrorist unit. You've just doubled the size of the Internal Revenue Service.
Yeah, I mean, it's never about what the actual issue is that you're talking about, because it's always there to hide another... There's another, just like, oh, we're going to do it as an exception. It's going to be an exception just for the voting rights or whatever. We're going to temporarily suspend, or we only suspend it certain, like they did with judges. It's like, oh, we're only going to do it certain times. We're only going to do it certain ways. It's just like, it's the old Charlie Brown and Lucy bit. just like, when Reagan was like, okay, I'll agree to a tax increase if you promise to cut spending. Okay, great. Here's your tax increase. And the spending keeps going up.
Yeah, well, I'll see your Reagan tax increase and come up with another one. The 1984 act he signed that exonerated any vaccine manufacturer from liability for adverse effect of their vaccinations, and the deal was that the vaccine manufacturers had to file a report annually with Congress as to the adverse reactions and what they were doing about it. They haven't filed one yet.
Wow, I don't remember that because I got one of the side effects of one of those vaccines I got was memory loss.
Gotcha. And I hope you're tongue in cheek. But that's really where Bobby Kennedy comes into this. We were talking about this COVID march and fighting the mandates on January 23rd. That's why he's involved, because he sees this where they twisted. They got the federal government to give them an exemption. I don't know what your business is, Conan, but if your business injured one of your customers, you could be held to account for it. Not so much if you manufacture vaccinations. That's why it's so important for Dr. Take the Shot, Leave the Cannoli Fauci to call them vaccinations. Because if you just call them a pre-treatment, then that doesn't trigger the protection for Pfizer or Moderna. You see how they twist this stuff in these little process nooks and crannies like an English muffin?
Oh, yeah, completely. And the thing is, you know, I get it. It was an emergency situation. They got this thing developed in record time. And it's just like, well, just tell her, hey, this is an experiment. If you want a shot at saving your life, we have this experiment you can try, because it hasn't gone through the normal rigor. And that's why we're granting all this. I think it might be a little more credible if you said, but look at their track record of all these vaccines that they did. And they have these annual reports saying that, you know, there were no adverse effects beyond what, but you don't have that. All you have is we give you the cover and you skate under it, and nobody's going to hold you account. And that's true with everything the government does. You know, any business that gets into bed with government is there to get protected from either their customers or their competitors.
What is Chris Horner call it? The world's second oldest profession, rent seeking. Just in your view, Conan, I think you're one of the toughest libertarian thinkers amongst the listening audience. How does this game play out? I mean, do we make it even to the midterm elections to see if we can flip the House and Senate?
I don't think Manchin, of all people, Manchin is not going to cave. And I think there's somebody telling Sinema, saying, if you cave on any of this stuff, you're out. And isn't she up in this midterm?
I think the other Arizona Senator, Kelly.
Gabby
Gifford's husband.
The temporary one. The one who had a partial term. I mean, the thing is, it's going to signal to Arizonans, it's like, now you're going to fire up people in a paint-by-numbers purple state, that you're going to lose, and you're going to end up flipping the Senate, and you're going to end up. Yeah, I just don't understand from day one why Mitch McConnell didn't go to Joe Manchin and say, "Here's the gavel, you're number 51."
You'd think after all this time, if you could get him to switch parties, then and we're going to make you Senate Majority Leader. By the way, have a nice day. It would have, and maybe he's just got his principles to the party. I don't know what he owes them. Certainly not all of you listen to it, but it's good stuff, my friend. I'm glad you held on through the news.
Take care.
They can't redistrict you out of the listening area. Just download the free Seville 107.5 app for your Android or iPhone.
Protect our democracy. I support changing the Senate rules, whichever way they need to be changed, to prevent a minority of senators from blocking action on votes. Filibuster is not used by Republicans to bring the Senate together, but to pull it further apart. Filibuster is weaponized and abused. While the state legislative assault on voting rights is simple, all you need in your House and Senate is a pure majority.
Right, the four wolves and three sheep voting on who gets to vote. Ray is hanging on the line there, and there's a couple other things that weave their way through this assault on voting rights, and in a lot of ways it is a bait and switch right now to get them to do the filibuster and then do the Build Back Biden with doubling the size of the IRS. But existentially, Ray, don't you get the impression that the citizens are the problem and the government is the solution as you listen to these people?
I have never thought that in my life, and there is nothing they can say that will convince me of it.
Oh, I know it's not real, but that's how they behave.
That's how they behave, but that's not even how they think. What they've got, what they are desperately struggling for is power. Mm-hmm. This is what matters.
Authority.
Power for them in their hands. But I want to ask you a question here,
okay,
which maybe you can help me out with. If I went to vote and a couple of big burly guys outside of the polling place sort of bumped into me and said, "Hey, buddy, you're not voting today. We don't like the way you think, so you're not voting today." That would, you know, and if I were prevented thereby from voting, that would excite all kinds of outrage by everybody, and mm-hmm. it should.
Yeah.
Absolutely, and it should. I mean, even though I'm not the right color or gender to excite maximum outrage, there'd be some outrage about that, and there should be. But if some weaselly little jerk winds up casting a ballot illegally that simply counteracts the ballot that I cast,
mm-hmm.
nobody's getting upset about that at all. The effect is the same.
Right, and they use words like, inconsequential when they talk about the evidentiary moments of where we find people who were deceased yet voted. And they say, well, that's inconsequential.
Inconsequential.
Well,
it didn't change the election. No, that's the thinking of Mark Warner and Tim Kaine and our illustrious president who was on such a hyperventilating spree yesterday. In heaven's name, is the difference? Anybody explain that to me?
Well, I think there's something, and I sense this, especially with the ballot stuffing that went on last year and the no-excuse absentee balloting and the no-witness signature absentee balloting. And here's what I'm talking, and I've asked, you heard me yesterday, I asked Mark Warner, and he obfuscated the question and just went into his boilerplate. I think my personal analysis of this is what they want to do is backfill the voting so that it's not just your right to vote. You have a vote, and if you don't use it, a proxy will vote for you.
Isn't that an interesting concept?
Well, we went through a little of that last year in Virginia where proxies were, sent out and ballot harvesting so that if you're registered to vote somewhere and we can't challenge whether you're a citizen or not, you're on a voting roll somewhere and you haven't voted by 11 o'clock on election day, we have proxies that will vote for you. And they'll claim whatever. But I think that's where this is headed, is that if you're on the voter rolls, you will vote.
And goodness knows we're not going to check those rolls.
No, it's racist.
You can have voters on there who are over a century old. There were quite a few of them last year, I understand.
Oh, yes.
Which is more centenarians than the census can find.
Mm-hmm.
But it's marvelous. It's like in Chicago where the dead walk not on Halloween but on voting day.
but as Tom Garrett said very eloquently, they haven't legalized voter fraud. They've just made it impossible to identify it and prosecute it. And that's what this whole John Lewis bill is about. And I wish the black community understood how this is really Jim Crow 2.0, not anything that a senator or Glenn Youngkin or the incoming Todd Gilbert leadership in the House is going to propose.
Well, this is exactly how it was done 100 years ago down south.
Right.
There were places where the black community was registered to vote, and then either they were told how to vote or somebody voted for them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So we have precedent.
Yeah, and it looks like that your interesting idea is not all that original, but it could easily be warmed up and put in operation again, couldn't it?
Oh yeah, without question. And I see a lot of the lattice work of this inside the Build Back Biden premise and this whole voting rights, but it's still designed to be out there hiding the department, the fact that the country is waking up to realizing that these shots aren't the shots they told us they were going to be, that there's a virus that lots of people are getting, and our public policy is reacting to the fact that lots of people are getting a cold and it's not as dire as it was. We're being kept away from the development of this police state that would make King George say, gosh, I could have had a V8. If you earlier this morning, I read the abuses and usurpations, and I tried to change them all from he to the government, because if you start listening to what Jefferson wrote about in the Declaration and these abuses and usurpations, you're like, hold it, this is all sounding way too freaking familiar, and I'm afraid that. And I hope we don't get there because a collapsed economy, which, by the way, the 300% increase in the price of fertilizer hitting family farmers and the price of gasoline to get food to the grocery store, let's not forget the collapsing economy.
Well, there were a lot of empty grocery store shelves, apparently, in Washington, D.C. yesterday. And whether people were taking pictures of them. Now, it could have been that they were simply reorganizing stock or something like that, and somebody exploited the situation. But sooner or later, our very complex system is going to start breaking down. The more government interferes with things, the more things break down, in case you hadn't noticed.
Well, and let me ask you this. How many times in history, never mind can we find somebody who was kept from voting, how many times in history has a collapsed economy turned into a liberty state?
I think zero would be the count.
Yeah, it's as of right now, anyway.
Indeed.
Yeah, Ray, thank you, sir. God bless you.
Thank you.
Have a great morning.
The original social media. Call Joe Thomas in the morning on anything.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
Really?
Oh, while we're young.
Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
Joe Thomas in the morning. 434-964-1075. Emails to Joe at WCHV.com. So many, great pre-filed bills, even from folks. We're going to visit with Steve Hainer from Bacon's Rebellion and the Thomas Jefferson Institute, some thoughts and insights on the General Assembly pre-filed legislation. Also, a newly minted delegate, Tim Anderson, whose chief of staff showed that his investigative chops outstrip the chief investigator for the January 6th commission, because when I called him and said, hey, we'd like to interview Delegate Anderson on my radio show in Charlottesville, his pregnant pause was followed by the question, why? Gosh, if we could just get that kind of investigative zeal in the January 6th commission, they wouldn't be calling Kevin McCarthy to testify. They'd be calling Nancy Pelosi to answer to the documents Cash Patel has brought forth. But he is the author of a bunch of bills, including, most importantly, prohibiting localities from prohibiting possession of firearms on county city property like parks and office buildings. You think of any counties in the area that might have had some of that? We'll get to you in a moment. I want to, my favorite part of yesterday was as they speaker now, Todd Gilbert, introduced his leadership team, and their chairman of the Courts of Justice Committee, Delegate Rob Bell.
So, anybody who's watched the Courts of Justice Committee do its work has seen that there was a sea change in approach over the last 2 years. We saw a large number of bills pass that made it harder to prosecute offenders, to hold them accountable, reduce their sentences, made it harder to prosecute larceny cases, limited the ability for probation officers to manage probation, made it harder to keep someone on bond prior to trial. And we've seen the results, with spiking crime rates. The murder rate, which has been much discussed over recent, the year-end rates are not ready, but the preliminary rates that we have through October 31st, what we call year-over-year, if you do year-over-year comparisons, it's up 27% over the last 2 years. We, by December 31st, will anticipate an historic murder rate. And for all of those reasons, we do want to take a very different approach.
Amen to that, brother. But, you know, when you have people like Rob Bell, now Glenn Davis also, he said some things yesterday that disquieted me on the green agenda, and that you have to write bills that will get 21 votes. Well, you don't know you're going to get 21 votes until you write a bill that's good, and then you go get 21 freaking votes. You don't sit there and say nose counts and all this other stuff. It's mostly good. Some of it, kissing your sister. But to you first at 434-964-1075, who's this?
Hey, Joe. It's AJ.
AJ, how are you doing, my friend?
Pretty cool. I was just wondering, is one of the bills that they pre-filed, is it to do away with the, universal background checks or whatever?
Yeah, the one gun a month is gone. I've got a list, a partial list of them here. The background check, if you've passed one, you've passed one. That's in there. Also, some of the other Second Amendment.
People don't realize it didn't get a whole lot of pushback on it, but if you bought a gun after that July date, you know, that gun is the government can go to the dealer, find out, you know, where all the guns are, and that it has a track record, you know, and if you're dumb enough to sell a gun that's older than that, and you go to a background check on it, now that gun is all, the government can always tell who has that gun, and that's just, you know, they can just show up door to door and confiscate them at that point.
I mean, I wish they were more proactive, but everything, you know, kind of falls under the title putting the genie back in the bottle, and there are bills just like that, both in the Senate and the House. AJ, that will, again, put all those genies back in the bottle. We just have to get 21 senators. That's why when Glenn Davis talks about the green agenda, and do we have the real quick, this one didn't make me, you know, sit very well.
We are going to be trying to make some changes, but I think there are changes that we can work on. And like I tell our caucus, and the speaker has told our caucus, you know, we got to work on bills that are going to get 21 votes in the Senate. We've got.
So, you know, I'm sorry, you work on bills that are right. You work on bills that are good for the economy in Virginia. You deregulate things. You write, and then you go get the 21 bills. I mean, that maybe it's easy for me to say. I've never been elected to a damn thing. But AJ, I know you and I have talked about this in the past. Don't write a bill saying, this will be the one that will get 21 votes. Write the good bill and then go get the 21 votes. Am I wrong?
No, you're 100% correct. It's not easy for you to say. It's the right thing for you to say, but it's the easy thing for them to do is to come out and go, let's be bipartisan. Let's work with the other side. Let's work to do. No, you do the right thing and what's constitutionally mandated and with the interest of keeping our freedoms, not going along to get along. And that's where the whole, you know, I can go on forever about the Republican Party. It's just, and just like Stewart, the same conversation you had with Stewart. You know, people are just fed up with this,
right.
And I don't think you did anything wrong, and I understand where you're coming from and all that, and I understand where he's coming from. We're just tired of nobody standing up and trying to fight anymore, and you look at the Republican Party, and they're trying to do the exact same thing again, and I just fear that that's what's going to happen, and just like with Youngkin putting that person that for the secretary of what education or whatever that has deep roots in CRT and Common Core. I mean, maybe it's different. Maybe he's going to steer her in the right direction, but you still got that swamp being put in there.
Well, and the other side of it is you're in the room with Glenn Youngkin. You're never going to be in the room with Terry McAuliffe. So Those conversations can happen. The reason I asked Mark Warner this, because I wanted somebody from the Democratic Party to answer for whether or not there were any people who had been denied their vote, and they still won't answer it. But I wanted people to hear Mark actually be asked the question. It's easy to sit here and say, gee, I wish Mark Warner would answer for this. You heard him not answer the question. He was actually presented with the question, and I knew when I asked it, he was going to dodge it and obfuscate it. But I wanted on record that he was asked the question, he lied. And it's funny because I've got people spinning Mark Warner like he's Joe Manchin. He's working this idea that, he's some, centrist, maybe, you listen to him and that. He is no way when you ask him a straight up question. Plus, I asked him about January 6th, and I said, shouldn't there be investigations into, never mind all the riots that happened in between, but on an inauguration day in 2017, there were buildings burned and riots and Molotov cocktails. You got pictures of D.C. police responding to these events. So, where was the investigation of that? And again, he took, I'm greatly offended, and so on and so forth. These folks don't, I said it earlier, AJ, it's almost as if they believe that if they say something enough times, it becomes true.
Well, it almost does, because the media picks up on it. They control 95% of the media, so they pick up on what they say, and they don't, say it's wrong. They just keep repeating it over and over. So it's an echo chamber for the whole country. And people aren't, I won't say they're smart enough or they're lazy or whatever, but most people go to the job. They don't want to come home and read articles on politics. They don't want to listen to the radio. I listen to it because I don't want somebody else telling me what the government's doing. I want to know for myself. So I take interest in it. But sometimes it's hard for me, and there's been days or weeks I've had to turn it off and go away from it.
Your own mental health. But when you find out that the price of fertilizer, never mind the price of gasoline, is going to go up 300%, and you realize, that's going to hit the grocery stores even harder than the trucking fuel. You were in a bad place, and they're whistling past the graveyard. And I hope the GOP leadership isn't, especially as it comes to the Virginia economy. But God bless you, sir. You have a great morning.
Thank you, Jeff.
It's like you put a Let's Go Brandon case on your smartphone.
Let's Go Brandon. I agree.
Listen live on the free Seville 107.5 app.
The new Quinnipiac poll shows Biden's approval rating has plummeted further, down to 33%. That's a 17-point drop from February. The top issues being the economy, foreign policy, and the COVID-19 pandemic.
People waiting for prices to go down are going to have to wait a while, because White House officials are saying that prices are going to moderate over the course of 2022. The year that just started. And around here, they are conceding that projections about the economy recovering from the pandemic were off.
When it comes to something like the supply chain challenges, those manifested more significantly than people were anticipating.
Prices are up, up, up. 7% higher last month compared to December 2020.
7%. And that's just the beginning. And this is all regulatory. And it isn't imaginary. It isn't, that's just conservative talking points. Ralph Northam on Monday said, all that overcrowding, the news keeps reporting in hospitals to make you scared of Omicron, I can fix it by deregulating. And I know that it becomes a punchline almost for those of us politically descendants of Edmund Burke, who upon receipt of Thomas Jefferson's Declaration of Independence read it and said, yep, he's got us. And saw no reason to fight, which was unequivocally clear legally, didn't win the day legislatively. but began a movement that, you know, the punchline is, oh, all you conservatives ever want to do is deregulate things. Yeah, and I'm going to tell you why. Because all of these things, this is what your humble host of this radio program calls over and over again, Munchausen's by government syndrome. And we need to stop. Play the Steve Doocy clip from Fox.
People waiting for prices to go down are going to have to wait a while because White House officials are saying that prices are going to moderate over the course of 2022.
Why is it the White House's job? What does the White House make? What consumer product does the White House make that they have any control over the price of? What they make that impacts the price are regulations. They say to the EPA, do this. They say to the Department of Justice, do that. They say to, and all of the cabinet level ministers go out and do the things they do. Go look up if you've never heard him on. So we've got, isn't it about time for the 2021 edition of 10,000 Commandments? 10,000 Commandments is an amazing work. Every year, they put together, and it's with tongue-in-cheek, because, you know, Moses was able to free the Israelites with 10. The folks at CEI put this together every year. Wayne Cruz does a great job. Just look it up, CEI.org, 10,000 Commandments. And what he does is he says, here's what the Federal Register says were the laws passed in 2021. And it is out. So we need to get Wayne Cruz back on the program. And here's, you know, a bookcase full of federal law and an entire library full of federal regulation, because Congress doesn't write law anymore. Congress writes funding requests. Congress authorizes spending. Congress is like the person that reimburses your travel expenses at your office. They're not writing law anymore. They're just approving spending bills. Those spending bills go off to the unelected bureaucrats. The previous president used to refer to them as the swamp. And perhaps good-hearted souls who went to the EPA or the Department of Education with good intentions and immediately started meeting K Street lobbyists who said, hey, I have a textbook that talks about race in a way that'll make you look good with your poor black constituents that you've made poor by driving out all the jobs in their community. So yeah, it's a punchline to say, all, you know, if a Democrat sees a problem, he wants to tax it and regulate it, and if a conservative sees a problem, he wants to untax it and deregulate it. And, you know, from Edmund Burke through every conservative that has taken a podium, from Barry Goldwater on up. Because when we do it, it actually works. It's just getting the guts to actually do it, because it is a siren song for some of these people to think they are the answer people. And that's what we, the people, have to break ourselves of, this compunction that somehow Governor Youngkin or Governor Todd Gilbert, all they can do is get the hell out of our way. And there are, believe it or not, bills that will try to do some of that in the General Assembly if they can get to Glenn Youngkin's desk.
They can't redistrict you out of the listening area.
Just download the free Seville 107.5 app for your Android or iPhone.
Protect our democracy. I support changing the Senate rules, whichever way they need to be changed to prevent a minority of senators from blocking action on voting rights.
Democracy leads us to this place where, you know, we were talking about the Munchausen's by government syndrome. Because we as carbon life forms, we as entities, give in to our lesser angels all too frequently. So instead of saying, hey, I need to make more money, our reaction, and it's echoed by politicians who then want you to vote for them, is, it's not my fault I'm poor. I just want that greedy SOB to give me some of his money. I heard it during an ad. I forget which major national centralized industry it was. It was one of the, I think it was one of the logistics companies, was talking about it's committed to a more equitable economy. What does that mean? Y'all going to hire more people? Doesn't sound like it. I don't see it. I went to their website. It was like UPS. It's like, where's the mass hiring event? Going to hire everyone, give them, you know, $30 an hour jobs working in the warehouse? Of course, you know, when they do try to do that, you have learned representatives, he says, with the implied air quotes, like Alexandra Ocasio-Cortez, winner of the political idol nationwide search for congressional candidates, documented in Tear Down the House documentary. Saying things like working for Amazon is just like slavery. And then that's a sentiment echoed by equally learned and well-rounded economic thought leaders like the average NFL linebacker, who says, you know, playing for the Baltimore Ravens is like playing, is like being a slave on a plantation, except for the hundreds of millions of dollars you're paid. But we, instead of saying, I need to find a way to make more money, say, how come he has more than I do? And then the politicians say, well, if that's what they want, let's go give it to them. And you wind up with this taxation and regulation state that actually we're living through the communist failing right now. The more communist you get, the more socialist your economy gets, the worse everyone's economic prospects get. And they think, like Ralph Northam in his State of the Commonwealth address last night, if you just say everything is great, it becomes great.
I'm leaving you with the strongest state budget Virginia has ever seen.
Really? And what does that mean for all the folks whose businesses are still closed up, or, you know, closed up and never came back because of the lockdowns? And because you spent a year telling us that the biggest threat to your own safety are all the other people around you, man.
We've been CNBC's best state for business in back-to-back years, something no other state has done.
Which means I just have friends at CNBC, or they just didn't feel like driving that far. But what does that mean to you who's paying twice as much for gas? On average, 7%, depending on what you buy, 7% more at the grocery store. And we haven't even seen the impacts of his green agenda on the farming industry, because they're about to be hit because of the fertilizer is made with fuel oil, or with crude oil. It's another one of those things like plastics. That are made with those inconvenient things that Joe Biden wants us to not even go looking for. So we're going to see this continue, and they act like somehow it's mystically, you know, our fault, or that there's some guy on a hill somewhere that has all that money that you don't feel like you have enough of. And we go along with it because it's easier than thinking, gee, I better go get some better job skills and get a better job. Speaking of, our friends from the Network to Work initiative going to be coming up in a little bit. Ridge Schuyler, who, you know, if you read Ridge Schuyler's Orange Dot 4.0 report, you can see it. You can see it in four-part harmony, color, pictures. But we just, you know, so we're going to chat a little bit with AJ about the Snowmaker coming up as well, and reset the scene set for the General Assembly.
Being tuned in means Joe Thomas now. Sean Hannity at 3. Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
Joe Thomas in the morning, 434-964-1075. Yeah, we've been colder, sure, but the sentiment remains. Lots to get into. Steve Hayner coming up from Bacon's Rebellion, but also Delegate Tim Anderson from the Tidewater area. He's the author of many of these Second Amendment genie back in the bottle bills, including the one that prohibits localities from banning the possession of firearms on county property like parks. You know any municipalities that would do such a thing? I also want to spend a little time on this McCarthy situation, because as Kash Patel said, Denver Riggleman should not be trying to interview Kevin McCarthy. He should be trying to interview Nancy Pelosi about why, when the president said, hey, I've got the National Guard ready, do you want them? She said no. There's also, supposedly, I'm told, the Supreme Court might issue their ruling today on the mandate case. So we'll stand ready for that as well. Good morning. You're on the air with Joe Thomas in the morning. Who is this?
A person that likes fine art.
Okay, hang on 1 second. Let me just get line two established here. Good morning. Who's this?
This is Joe. This is Joel. Good morning. All right.
Good morning, Joel. Mike's just ahead of you. So, Mike, how much of Hunter Biden's fine artwork have you purchased?
Not much, but it was the painter that did the portrait of Ralph Witz's name that I was calling in about. He left out the white sheet draped across Ralph's arm and a can of black face paint on the table. You know, the artist made some obvious mistakes, but then when you state that the budget is the strongest it's ever been, qualify that for me. Strong in how? It spends collects more of my money as taxes and spends it more for his personal benefit, or
exactly you nailed it, Mike. You nailed it. That's exactly what he means when he says strongest it's ever been. He has more of your money to do his things with.
So he's stronger to me is what he means.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Let me get to Joel here, Mike. You have a great morning, sir.
Okay, and you.
Good morning, Joel. Thanks for hanging on the line. What's on your mind, sir?
Well, did you hear what Governor Kristi Noem said about her state?
I'm sorry, I've been busy with Virginia. I'm sorry, North Dakota is a little of a blind spot. She is one of my wife's favorites, and my wife will hit me with a cast iron skillet when I get home for not paying attention to it. So, yeah, why don't you hit me to it?
Well, as far as, like, gun regulations and buying permits, she's offering it all free. And they don't have limits on what you can buy. And she said that her state actually has a reserve of actual funds, and they're setting that all aside. And she said there's so many businesses that I think she's South Dakota. I'm not sure.
Oh, did I say North? I'm sorry. I was just, looking the other direction. So
that's okay. I'm not trying to correct, but I think she's South Dakota.
No, maybe.
Yeah. But anyway, so my thing is, why can't we get like Governor Kristi Noem, Ron DeSantis, of course, now Glenn Youngkin, and other in Texas? Why can't they get together? Get them all together and say this is what we have to offer. I mean, because it doesn't seem like we have strength with. I don't mean strength; they don't have strength, but it doesn't seem like we have a good sales pitch, other than where I used to live in Florida. Florida's Florida. I miss it. But why can't they get together and say this is what we have, and this is what you have now, what's present in Washington in the swamp.
Well, and that's part and parcel of what the president wants to do with his federalization of elections and continue the federalization of all this economics. The funding streams that go through EPA and Department of Education, all that, it is a soft core nationalization, and the states have to stand up for states' rights. Kristi, if she really wanted to push it, she'd stick some pipelines in the ground and start getting some of the stuff to the fertilizer farms there to help the farmers as well, because there's always more you can do. But I appreciate it, Joel. You have a good morning, sir.
You too. All right. Thank you. Bye.
MFM streaming and now a smartphone app. The technology changes, but at your service since 1933. WCHV.